Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Welcome everyone to the Sloppy Joes podcast. It is another Friday edition of, I think my favourite day of the week, with Joe Smith and Ethan James.
Hello.
Afternoon, Ethan.
Hello, Joe. How are you today? It's a nice day, isn't it? It's
lovely
and sunny.
He's got a day off today, so he's got a spring in his step.
He has, and there's a spring in the air as well, isn't there?
There is a spring in the air. Have you made the most of the sun?
Well, what is making the most of the sun? Because I think that's an interesting concept.
Just
because you like boozing, don't
being
you?
In it. Being in it. Like, my dog and me, when the sun is out, as long as it's not too hot, we go on walks.
Right.
I'm talking walks. 2-3 hours away. Boom. Love it. Get somewhere with a little lake, possibly a river if it's not being too, you know, heavy downpours. You don't have to just disappear to sail.
Yeah.
But if it's been a nice
not
day.
Not to sail.
Not to fucking sail. There's the river, the Transpennine Express, that's near Stockport Pyramid, and that does go to sail, and someone's dog once went, jumped in the river, got missing, found him at Trafford Water Park.
Trying at the Trafford Centre. No, working in a footlocker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
0 hours contract though, for you, mate.
It's disgusting. It's this government, Joe.
Trying to get rid of it, aren't they?
I called you, Joe.
Have you ever gone missing in a river?
I've never gone missing in a river. I did fall out of a canoe once when I was unable to swim, and I would have died if my sister hadn't pulled me out.
Wow.
I remember the canoe flipped. I remember being eyes fully open in the river, like that. And then I just saw a Mars bar go past. As I'm going for it, Ellen pulls me out.
That again?
I saw a Mars bar going past me.
So you went for it?
Well, I was sort of like, oh, Mars bar. Oh, open out.
This Mars bar didn't have the wrapper on, did it?
No, it came out of my bum.
Wow.
Yeah, and then another time, actually, we fell out of another canoe, and I was an adult this time. But this time, our dog was in the canoe with us.
Yeah.
And she's going, where's my dog? Where's my dog? And she, again, same thing. Hand under the water, pulled the dog out. And then
why do you keep going on canoes, by the way?
The second canoe was very unsteady. The second canoe had been hand-whittled by the man whose shack we were staying in. And it was really unstable, actually.
Is this in the UK or in America?
UK, United Kingdom.
Oh, thanks for that. Whereabouts in the United Kingdom?
Great Britain.
Thank you.
Whereabouts in the United Kingdom? England.
Yeah. I love
canoes.
Canoes are all right. Kayaking's better.
No, I would tend to disagree.
Yeah, but you buy yourself in a kayak.
No, well, not necessarily. You can get a double kayak.
Can you?
Yeah.
Really?
Like
a duo boost bar.
Yeah. But you tend to be by yourself. I just don't like that. I don't want to be by myself. And I want to be able to keep a picnic and a dog with
That's
me.
That's mad. Yeah. But the dog fell in.
Yeah, but that was her own fault. Anyway, let's not worry about that. How are you?
I'm very good today. Ethan James is a year older.
Yep. Woohoo.
What did you do on your birthday?
You know what? I went to work, I had quite a nice day. We had Rio Ferdinand in, for those who don't know, is quite a famous footballer. So done some work with him. Got a caterpillar cake from everyone, my favourite cake.
Did you get the head?
I probably did. I had a lot of the caterpillar cake. I had more than just...
He was cutting this caterpillar cake, and honestly, Joe, it looked like he'd cut it with a tin of beans. Really? It was just fucking blown all over the table. Do you know sometimes with Ethan, I know, the thing with Ethan is he kind of gives you this little, it's not a character, but sometimes he'll lean into his kind of idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what I mean? And he'll almost become a sort of walking, mumbling, you know, tosser. But actually, in real life, Ethan is, as you and you see it on the podcast, but I mean, he's capable of being like, very well put together.
Of course he is.
I don't want people to get the wrong impression of him. But wow, when he was cutting this cake, he was trying his best, and you'll admit, it was awful, wasn't it? He was sat there, no one was even looking at him. All I could hear was him laughing, and I looked, and it looked like he'd fallen in it. It was that bad a job.
Did he shag the cat?
He didn't.
Did you have sex with the cat for the cake?
No. Why would I want chocolate on my knob?
Yeah, you don't want it to get stuck on the strawberry jam that's already on there, do you? You did a right awful job of cutting that cake, though, didn't you?
Well, there's one thing to say, Drew. I got a lovely card from everyone.
There you go. This is a for the, the audio viewers, can you describe it?
It's a Frozen card, and it's got the characters from Frozen on there, and it says the words sparkle and shine. I would like to read a few of the comments to show how much my workmates appreciate me, if that's all right with you, Drew. Okay, well, here's one. Happy birthday, you Geordie Maggot. Not going to say that who that's from. Here's another one. Happy birthday, you C word.
The big one.
Another one.
The
yeah.
Big one. Yeah. Well, the big C. That's C U M Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another
who
one.
Said that? No, don't worry about it.
No, we'll move on.
What did Joe put?
Happy birthday, Keithan. One time Star of the Month award winner. Looks good on you.
Yeah, because he was Star of the Month once. Yeah, so mine was nice.
That was really nice.
I did call him really Keithan, nice. But that's okay.
Was the C word the worst one?
No, there's some of those like, you Geordie fuck. that kind of like vibe.
It was quite sort of foul, northeasterly based nastiness, wasn't it?
Yeah, NUFC are shit from Jay.
Did you at least go to five side and score some goals?
Well, I'm the goalkeeper, Drew, so it's rather unlikely to five
scored some own goals, though.
Did you keep a clean sheet?
We drew 8-8.
Big me. Good game for you then, Ethan.
What a crazy game. 8-8.
Listen, and five aside, conceding 8 in a 50-minute match is very
not bad.
It's reasonable.
It's not bad. It's not good.
One every 6 minutes or something.
Yeah,
and that's it's not bad.
Yeah, but I've never played in a five aside game that was like 30-all. That's the, like,
there wasn't 30-all. It was 8-all.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So for 8-all to be
8-all.
Yes. For
where did you get 30 from?
That's what I was.
Do you not understand? Do you two not understand English? You said 8 is pretty good for a 5-a-side
game.
And
I said,
well, I've never seen a game
8-all.
Are you still not getting this? Have you not been to school or in the world?
What are you trying to say? Stop putting words in his mouth.
The point I'm saying is, if it was a normal football match, you would say, 1-1, that's not bad. Didn't get a clean sheet, but you only conceded one goal. Yeah. But that would be on the assumption that every other game was 5-all. I'm saying 8-all, you're saying that's not bad. So what is the suggestion here? That the usual 5-a-side game is 20-30-all?
Where did 30-all come from?
Because that is a number that is substantially bigger than 8, that by comparison, 8 is quite small, isn't it?
Ethan, you must understand this by now.
Oh, I've never conceded 30. I can assure
exactly,
you that.
Because 8 isn't actually that good, is it? Like, you two are somehow trying to make out. And I didn't want to, like, go on about having a diss at you for this long. But when you two are pretending that you don't know how comparisons work, I feel as though I've got no choice. Anyway, have you got a story, Joe?
I do.
8's pretty good. Yeah, in comparison to what?
I do have a story. And it And it involves something that is, on one hand, a bit of me, but on the other hand,
chips,
not a bit of me.
Salad. Sorry, that was just so nasty. I'm really sorry. And again, let me just reiterate.
Because you're kind of right.
Let me just reiterate. His fridge was so healthy when we went to come down with
him. You're kind of right. Because on the one hand, a bit of me is cheating in a race.
Don't tell Beck. Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, the race has to be 50 kilometres. There is a woman, did you see it?
I saw it.
From Manchester to Liverpool. By the way, what a fucking mad run that is. 50 kilometre extreme run from Manchester to Liverpool. I think you go down like the fucking...
The Warrington Waltz.
Yeah, I don't know where you go. And she cheated. But this is the bit that's a bit of me. She got in a car. She drove a bit. Did you see this, Ethan?
I've seen the US office where the same thing happens when...
Get in a car.
Yeah,
you thought this was just stuff of myth. Let me read out the story here. A big athlete, one of the stars of ultramarathons, a name I really can't really pronounce, has cheated in a 50-kilometer ultra race. There was GPS on part of her tracking device, and it clocked her doing something like 2 miles in the space of a minute, resulting in referees deciding
20 miles an hour.
She got in a car.
That's pathetic.
It's pathetic, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
But it's all right at the same time, and it's pretty good, Ethan, isn't it? If you get away with that, you're laughing.
Oh, if you get away with the truth, I don't care how you win, as long as you win.
Exactly, Ethan. Thank you.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, it just reminded me of a story that in one of the early Tour de France's, someone did the same thing.
What do you mean?
It was an early Tour de France. I'm trying to find the exact details, but obviously I'm trying to get it on the spot now. But basically, someone got on the bus with their bike and just got the bus to like right near the finish line, got back off and won.
Like, oh, what? No, they can't win, can you?
Well, they didn't count. I don't know if it counted in the end or if they found out, but obviously we know now that they did it, so it must have been found out. But like, these sorts of things, they do rely on like goodwill a little bit, don't they? I mean, unfortunately, now there's GPS tracking devices where you went 120 miles an hour for a minute there.
Yeah, I know. That's, I don't know possible. How they did it. I don't know how she thought you were going to get away with it. Chaos.
Would you do that?
There would be elements of me if I was being really sort of an intense race.
Let's say there was like 50 grand for the winner as well.
Apparently, she's got the shits. She wasn't feeling too well.
Right.
Not the shits. And I think she might
You're still just saying it, but you said it in an accent.
She might have shit herself.
What, and that propelled her forward at 60 miles an hour?
No, it lost her a bit of time. Right. So on the route, she's either got a bit of Bluetooth or like she's called back.
Or brown pants.
Brown pants or Bluetooth. And she said, listen, I need help. Just shit in a bush there. Yeah. Come pick me up. Help me catch up to the time I would be at. Help me finish the race.
Now that's a sentence. I need help. I've just shit in a bush. Come pick me up. That's right from the Joe McGrath playbook, that sentence.
If I was doing a race, right, like that, I'd probably have backup ready for me. I needed to,
yeah. I think you'd attach a bucket to your bum just for the run.
Oh, we got to think that's not very wind efficient, is it? Well, it is, but
not that type of wind,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it would probably catch a lot of like a bit. It's not air resistant, is it?
No, aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic. What's air resistant?
The opposite of what you mean.
It's very aero resistant.
Yeah,
because it'll collect all the air and my farts. So no bucket needed.
No,
but backup probably takes Andy. And he's just close by, ready to pick me up.
He can be one of those people on the motorbike, do you know, at the front of the marathon.
Yeah.
He can be there with some adult diapers.
Yeah.
You could just run in nappies.
What do you think about cycling? Like, do you know he's at the Tour de France?
Mm.
It's all right, isn't it?
My, not father-in-law, but girlfriend's dad is very into cycling. Like, he cycles around 200 miles a week.
A week?
He's
on
doing
purpose?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
He's doing like 40 to 50 mile cycles multiple times per week.
Wow.
Unbelievable stuff.
Where does he go?
Just usually to the airport and back.
For a flight?
No, just for
just
a
see
ride.
The plane. The planes are pretty cool when you see them land.
Yeah, and he does that. But then I just think like it's like any of those sort of solo cardio activities, running's the same for me.
Yeah.
It's so dull.
Is it boring?
Isn't it so boring?
Are you allowed anything in your ears? Like a music or anything? Is that against the
law? I don't know if you can in the races, but you just think like, how can you do it? You know, like, I always think even stuff like tennis. Do you know any solo sport? Tennis, golf, the big ones, snooker. They're like inherently boring because there's never a back in the dressing room and all the team are feeling the exact same as you.
No.
If you're a tennis player, if you're Roger Federer, there is no one in the world that is even half as happy as you are when you've won Wimbledon. Do you know what I mean?
That's true, you've won
it by yourself. You've got all of the prize money, 30 million quid, whatever it is. 10% goes to the agent, 10% goes to the trainer, whatever. But you are so much happier than everyone else in the world that you've won. The next person down is like a quarter as happy as you are.
Whereas
if you're a football player, there are minimum 10 other players exactly as happy as you that you can celebrate with. I would hate doing a solo sport like that.
Yeah, but you just win 30 million quid.
I know, but I'm not saying I'd rather work at here or Poundland or something. I would rather win 30 million quid, but I'd rather win 30 million quid in a team sport by a mile.
Ethan, can you ride a bike?
Yep, I can ride a bike. Yes, very well. I can ride a bike very well, thank you.
When did you learn?
Last
week?
No, I learned back in the day when I was a kid, got my cycling proficiency, can cycle on the roads legally, should I want to. Don't really want to.
Do you have to have a cycling proficiency to ride on the roads?
Really?
You don't, do you?
I think you probably should.
No, but do you have to is the question.
Well,
legally you don't have to, do you?
Well, you can do anything.
No, you can't. Loads of things are illegal. I love that. You can do it. I mean, you know, you can kill a man legally. But should you do it? Probably not. You know, you can marry a cat legally, but you shouldn't do it. No, they're illegal.
I think since watching Jeremy Vine, it's kind of put me off.
What was that? All that? What was this Jeremy Vine thing?
He just fumes, doesn't he, if anyone upsets cyclists.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's in the right, I watch a video and go, yeah, that's pretty bad. And sometimes it's like, oh, it's all right. Just grow up a bit.
Mm.
Yeah. I watched another video today of a guy. Oh, so bad. Post, like a DHL worker comes to this guy's front door with a parcel. And he's a Scouse bloke who picks up the Ring doorbell and he's not in. And he says to the guy, oh, listen, mate, over the road 180, they love taking in the parcel. It's Nigel, he's my mate. Go and give it to him. And, oh, sound. He goes and he's trotting along the road. And the other guy, is still watching the postman deliver the letter. And he's trotting across the road. And then he just said, oh, a bike straight into the postman. The guy, the Scouse lad is stunned. He's just watched his postman.
Killed.
Get clattered. But luckily it was a pedal bike. Watch the Scouse guy. Then the Scouse guy who's watched it starts giving the bike a shit. Don't run over my postman like that. Going way too quick there, lad.
Don't run over my postman. That's my postman. Postman flat, more like.
Oh.
See you later. Right, my story.
Ring the bell.
Here's one. This is according to the Daily Loud, which is a sort of aggregatory audio site. And this is very much in your wheelhouse, Joe, as a man of the radio, a man of the audio wave. Universal Music Group has responded to the viral AI-generated song by Drake and The Weeknd, calling it fraud and telling streaming platforms to ban the technology. Have you seen this?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Last couple of weeks,
so mad.
These AI-generated songs. Have you seen this, Ethan?
I've heard a bit of it. It's nonsense, isn't it?
Well,
we've created a safe word.
What does that mean?
You create a safe word.
What does that mean? Were you Becky?
Because of our voices are so available for the internet.
Mm.
Criminals are stealing our voices.
Right.
And we'll call up Becky or a loved one and be able to say, oh, I really need your help. I'm this, and this. Create a safe word.
Oh, that's good. Avocados, man. Shouldn't say it out on the internet, should
no,
I?
No, you shouldn't.
Okay, it's not avocado. But I was Googling this because thinking it's a bit shit to talk about this story without playing the song.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, who owns the copyright to an AI generated song?
I really don't know. There's going to be too much aggro.
Do you want to have a guess, Ethan?
Who owns it?
Yeah. So if AI make a song, who owns that song?
And Drake is the artist that they mimic.
But Drake is the artist that they mimic, but Drake has nothing to do with it.
Who owns it?
The answer, obviously, there's a lot of things. I think this is the American.
It's the AI.
No, because currently, as it stands, no one owns it. So there's this thing where all copyright law, as it currently exists, is all based around the protection of art and concepts created by humans. There is no copyright laws that mention or sort of bring into the world things made by computers or AI.
Wow.
So there's no protections for AI. So I think, and we'll find out when we upload the video, that I can play a little bit this song.
What is it?
So this is it's called Heart on My Sleeve, which, who even named it that, by Drake and The Weeknd.
Oh,
heard it. But it does. The problem is, it's too good.
Yeah,
and
it'll spook some people.
And
you know
this is just the beginning.
I'm worried, mate.
This is these are the, like, literally some of the first attempts at this. Have you heard of AISIS? Which,
a terrorist attack.
Which, as I say it now, sounds like ISIS. A robot terror organization. It's actually an AI version of Oasis.
Oh yeah, I've heard them.
Have you heard this, Ethan?
Brand new.
They've released a 32-minute mixtape album that is Oasis,
I know,
but this doesn't exist. So this song is completely made by AI. No one in Oasis was involved. I really hope no one owns these copyrights.
Yeah.
I don't think they do. I googled it.
They've not quite mastered how the Oasis song starts.
That sounds like it, though.
Mad. It is spooky, isn't it, the world of AI?
Yeah.
I'm a bit stunned by it, mate.
Well, everyone's talking about it, aren't they? We haven't talked about it on here.
I'm a bit stunned by it. I think if you don't get a grip of it now, I think it's just going to shit everyone up a bit.
Well, can I tell you something that's a little bit morbid before we get onto Ethan's point?
God.
I was watching a video, and this thing that always gets mentioned, whenever it's like robots or AI or like technology becoming really smart or sentient or whatever, people always ask this question, are AI going to take over? Is there going to be a war with AI? Is there going to be a war with robots? Like, imagine Terminator, yeah?
Yeah.
Which humans versus robots.
Yeah, but we if anything, the AI just need to watch Terminator and go, oh, that's a good idea.
Well, no, but it's worse than that. Because it was the way, because once they can decide who to tell information to, who to hide information from, once they're working in their own best interests, it won't be the case that it's humans versus robots. They'll be so far ahead of us that it would be like the equivalent of us and ants. Like, we don't go, we've got to wage war against the ants. They're just irrelevant to us.
They've already predicted, like, our next
steps. The robots and the AI will see us as like an amusement, like a pet, like a dog. It's more likely that we're like their pets or something that they just ignore while they go about their higher level of existence, rather than it like...
So they're just going to leave us alone, do you think?
They might leave us alone, or they might just go, yeah, pop them in a pen. Like we do with sheep.
Yeah.
Because imagine if you went to an ant and said, what's the M1? They would have no idea what a motorway is.
I think you...
The concepts or the reasoning behind a motorway. So an AI comes to us and goes, what's the M1?
Well, we know where the M1 is.
Yeah, but no, but their version of the M1.
What do you... Nah, I think...
We just have no idea. Their concepts would be so far out of our understanding that instead of us being like versus the robots, we'll just be like an irrelevant aside.
No, that's all right then.
Yeah.
Let's just leave us be.
Scary though, isn't it?
Let's hope that's what is going to happen, because I can't be arse scrapping a robot. I get battered. Do you have a good fight with a robot, Ethan?
I think you fall in love with one.
Do you think?
Yeah.
There's potential, isn't there?
Pardon?
There's potential, I guess.
Yeah.
We're moving towards that way now. You can get those dolls and things, can't you? That look quite realistic.
Can you?
Would you? I googled it. We got for his birthday. Do you want to finish on your story, Ethan?
Yeah. Also, Drew, I have talked about AI before because of the pigeons at Millwall I was telling you about.
Yeah, that was
And you said
bullshit.
A pigeon's cleverer than a computer.
That wasn't...
You just... Joe just said literally they can take over the world. A pigeon couldn't. They've tried.
Just you watch, just you watch. Well, my story, I can give you a personal one. Or a news one, so you've got a choice.
Always personal, always personal.
All right, well, thank God, because I don't really have a news one. It's a bluff. So my personal one was I went out the other day with my friends and we went to a Lebanese restaurant. And it was really lovely, okay? So it was lovely deco inside.
When you paused there, did you expect like us to start clapping or something when you said Lebanese restaurant?
Well, it's just a little bit different to what I usually...
Okay, right, say it again, me and Joe try and go on.
So the other day, I went out to a lovely Lebanese restaurant.
Nice! What's it called?
Oh, it's a bit too hard to say, but I'm going to say Lebanese Comptoir.
Comptoir?
Yes.
Is it in Spinningfields by any chance?
It is.
I've been. Nice. It's lovely.
It is lovely. And it's part of a chain.
Right.
Why did you say that like that was a good thing?
What?
Ah, and here's the better thing. There's fucking loads of
okay,
them.
Okay, so there's a chain. Yeah, go.
Well, I just thought
it's mass produced shite.
I just thought no one knew that because lots of people think when they think of chains, they think of Nando's, whatever. I just thought maybe wherever you live, you're at home, one day you might want to go for
okay,
a
get on to this story, come on.
So went there, had a sit down. It was
who's had a sit down?
Oh, sorry. I went there with Bill and Bob and we all sat down.
Oh, lovely.
And it was quite nice and we had our scran and then off we went to the mini golf.
Hang on a sec. So this story about you going to Lebanese consists of we sat down, had a scran and left.
You didn't need to tell us, did you?
I don't think you needed to mention that.
I like it though. I like the detail.
Oh, yes, actually, I did need to tell you. If I just check my notes here. Yes, there's a story from this bit.
Well done.
When we were getting onto the dessert, I said, ooh, I might have some cheesecake. And Wob said I might get the brownie, but I don't want this... pistachio, right?
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you like pistachio? And he says, he was like, oh, it's just an ice cream, isn't it? I'm not too sure about it. And then Bill was like, yeah, it's an ice cream. I was like, no.
What?
Pistachio's a nut. And they were like, no, it's just an ice cream. I was like, no, pistachio nuts make pistachio ice cream. Yeah, and just couldn't get the head around it.
Did they not believe you? How have they not seen pistachio nuts?
What did they think mint choc chip ice cream was? Just a, like a flavour of ice cream?
Well, I was giving examples, like saying, this is like saying, for example,
strawberries, just
like,
an ice cream.
Yeah, like strawberries, just an ice cream.
Wait, what was the example that you used at the time?
Mango.
Yeah.
Mango. What are the, right, so that's the Lebanese story. And then, is that it?
So you got thick friends.
So then off, yeah, that was just calling them out a little bit there.
Lovely. It's called Wob. Can't even spell his name right.
I know.
We went out to the, not treetop golf.
Okay.
The junkyard golf.
Oh, right.
And when we went there, we were saying, this is a shit time. We're having a terrible time. There's too much queues and there's only 9 holes. Right? Not worth it for your money. And then what happens at the end? This is the story now. I'm
so glad we've got to the story, aren't you? Just 4 minutes into whatever the other bit was.
Fuck me.
I hand over my golf club, hand over my ball, and the man says, thank you very much, Mr. Ethan James. And I went, hang on a minute. How do you know me? And he said, I'm a slopper.
Oh, right? That's brilliant.
It was brilliant. And then I was like, wow. And he said, can I treat you and your friends to some free drinks at the
Whoa! Hang on a sec, I've never had free drinks off of this.
Well, this is, it was quite bad actually. I did feel quite VIP.